The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We've been looking at a book written by a man by the name of Wilbur Smith, entitled Therefore Stand, and have been noting some comments of theologians from the 1800s having to do with the importance of creation, what the implications, the presumptions, the assumptions are, what creation denies. I would like to go now to a man by the name of Dr. Charles Harris, who was probably one of the best apologetic scholars in the 1800s. And in one of his papers, he summarized this argument that we have been talking about. And there are three conclusions, three statements that he makes. All of these are worth your giving your attention to. Number one, if the first cause is identical with the universe, then the first cause is liable to change. Now, in case you do not make the connection, what is the first cause here? Well, the first cause, of course, is God Himself. God is the cause that brought into existence the effect that we are able to perceive today as creation. And Dr. Harris's statement is that if God is the same thing as the universe, if God is the same as the creation, then God is liable to change. Why? For the very simple reason that our universe is changing. And our universe is changing in what direction? For those of you that are familiar with the laws of thermodynamics, the second of those laws, these laws, by the way, the nearest things we have to laws in science from the standpoint, there are no known exceptions to them. And the second law tells us that things are simply deteriorating, degenerating. If God is the creation, if He is the same as the creation, then God Himself is changing. And for those of you that know your scripture, you know that this is absolutely contrary to any basic teaching of the scripture. The rest of the statement that is made here, the universe is changing, it is deteriorating. So there is a very basic, important concept at issue here. When I was in graduate school years ago, I went through some very tough going from the standpoint of trying to come to an intellectually consistent view of the subject matter areas I was studying in graduate school in contrast to or along with the biblical teaching of creation. And there was a Chinese man who taught at the university of that, at that time in graduate school, a man by the name of Dr. Lin. He knew as much about the scripture as almost any man I have ever known. You walk in his office and ask him about a word, and he said, oh, well, in the Hebrew, that occurs 28 times in the Old Testament. 16 times it means this, etc. And it was my privilege to spend a good deal of time with him, and he was very helpful in aiding me to maintain a consistent harmonization of science and scripture where there is contact between the two. And one of the major things that I remember coming out of those conversations is his repetition over and over and over that there is forever a dichotomy between God the Creator and man the creature. Now, we'll have occasion later to talk about that a little bit, but it is an absolutely critical idea. God is not the creation. He is not rivers and trees and birds and people and stars. He brought those into existence, but He is separate from them, partly for the reason we have just noted here in this statement. The second of these three statements made by Dr. Harris, if God is identical with the universe, contradictions and absurdities must be affirmed of Him. If God is identical with the universe, contradictions and absurdities must be affirmed of Him. To continue with his comments, he must be identical with the theist and the atheist. There are theists and atheists in the creation. If God is the creation, then he has to be both of these. This is a contradiction. He must be identical with the theist, the atheist, the pantheist. And the doctrines of these positions are not harmonizable. They are not something that you can get to agree. So here would be the contradiction. He must be conscious and unconscious, rational, irrational, hot and cold, round and square, material and immaterial. Now, I'm sure you can add to this list if you were inclined to, but there are all kinds of contradictions in the creation, and if God were that creation, then he would be all of these contradictions at once, which is precisely what many of these religious or philosophical groups claim. Again, you can fuss over this as you choose to, but it just doesn't make any sense. It is certainly contrary to the scriptural teaching itself. Now, the third of these, whatever your response may have been to the first two, the third, please give your attention to. Number three, but this is not the worst. If God is identical with the actual world, moral distinctions disappear altogether. Now, without continuing his statement here, think about that for a moment. Is this not precisely what we are seeing occurring in our world increasingly? You have prevailing ideas that truth begins with whatever a person thinks, that the thought of the individual is the source of truth. Whatever I think becomes truth. Now, as you understand that, for all the different kinds of people, there is no truth. There is no unchanging truth, no standard. This allows, then, people to do pretty well what they want to. And the idea of characterizing a particular action as sin or good, evil or good, simply becomes impossible. Now, let me continue with his statement here. If God is identical with the actual world, moral distinctions disappear altogether. God must be sinful and holy, cruel and merciful, just and unjust, coward, hero, murderer, victim. Think for a moment of a hungry coyote that spies an innocent little rabbit out in a cow pasture someplace. And the coyote chases down the rabbit and eats the rabbit. According to the pantheistic view, this physical monism, God is the merciless killer because he's the coyote that chases down the rabbit. But at the same time, he is the helpless victim. He's the poor little rabbit that gets ate up. Now again, this simply is not a possible, consistent view of God. Say, well, what in the world does this have to do with moral distinctions? Well, we're coming to that. Think for a moment about Star Wars, for example. The first of these presentations was flocked to by fundamental believers. I think partly for the reason there was no cursing, no nudity, nothing that would be overtly offensive to a believer. My information about those programs is that there was not a single person who had a speaking part in the program that had not attained to at least the sixth level of witchcraft. Now, what you found people subjecting themselves to when they went into this was an almost constant presentation of occult teaching, pure occult teaching, without a comprehension of what they were listening to. Their guard was not up. They simply sat and listened to this and absorbed it. Would that have affected their thinking and ultimately their behavior? And the answer to that question has to be yes. You had Luke Skywalker, who was the hero of all of this. He was found on a faraway planet by Obi-Ben Kenobi, who had been a friend of his father, who brought Luke Skywalker, his father's sword. The bad guy in all of this, obviously, it was Darth Vader, dressed in black, snorting his way around through the movie. Down toward the end of it, Obi-Wan and Darth Vader get into a duel with light swords, laser weapons, and Obi-Wan gets sliced up. He ends up at the end of that first movie as being a spirit guide for Luke Skywalker to give him the precise instant at which he could release a bomb that would blow up the Death Star. Now, that ended that first one. You come down two more performances, and all of a sudden, who do you discover, or what do you discover about Darth Vader? Well, Darth Vader, interestingly enough, turns out to be Luke Skywalker's daddy. At this point, all of a sudden, the guy that was supposed to have been the bad guy through the first two of these suddenly turns out to be the father of the hero. Now, you're beginning to understand this mixing up of good and bad. And it gets to the point that not only are you not able to distinguish between them, but as we will see, ultimately, it doesn't make any difference. And this is precisely the point that many of our young people have come to now. Not only do they argue that there is really no distinction between good and evil, depending on the circumstances, it doesn't make any difference about it. Now, Satan has been very successful in promoting that. And again, I am not unduly concerned about what unsaved people, unbelievers, believe. But I am immensely concerned when I see my fellow believers who are incorporating into their thinking and into their actions, consequently, tenets, positions, ideas, which are inherently contrary to the Scripture. And this is what we see. So that this idea of physical monism, pantheism, inevitably will have effects in the thinking and the behavior of individuals. And what this does is allow in their mind a disobedience, a disregard of the commands in Scripture to the point that they are free to do whatever they want to, arguing initially, you can't argue that this action is wrong or right, and ultimately getting to the place where they would argue that it doesn't make any difference, that wrong and right ultimately may be the same thing.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.